We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I think this is literally perfect for our next guest who joins us now on the Western Hotline, Bruce Nolan, of the Bruce, it's the Bruce Exclusive podcast now on the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. You can check him out on Twitter at Bruce Exclusive. So Bruce, I brought you on because you were going to tell us how Josh Allen's the best quarterback who's ever lived. He can throw the pigskin, actually comes off of the football when he releases it from his hands, and he is the most handsome man in all of America. That is your words, not mine.
My notes are way wrong, Nate. I don't know what to do with my hands now.
I was
not prepared for this, Nate.
We'll actually talk about what some of your takes were, because if you missed it this week, Bruce came out with one of his podcasts, kind of talking about this idea that everyone does kind of lump Josh Allen and Mitchell Trubisky together because both are players who had good second seasons. Mitchell Trubisky went into his third season and puked all over himself and then got essentially replaced. And a lot of people are pointing to Josh Allen as like, okay, he had a good second year, better than we thought, but like he's in for a year three regression, even though he's got like, you know, an accessories of just an assemblyment of pretty solid talent across board. Maybe the best talent around a quarterback that this team has seen maybe a decade, maybe longer, 2 decades. So I want to start by making sure people understand where your thought process was for this podcast. You wanted to do your due diligence on what and who is Mitch Trubisky and why he shouldn't really be compared to what Josh Allen is. And I think a lot of people took that a different way and ran with their own sort of narrative on that, thinking, well, Mitchell Trubisky was actually really, really good. He was better passer than Josh Allen. Like, and then you kind of showed this video that I think was really maybe the best in sort of like way to represent what Mitch Trubisky was. And it was that third down, he can get a first down, and instead of running forward past the sticks, he runs to the sideline and gets tackled, and they end up, like, you know, not scoring on the play. And I think that really probably is a microcosm of what Mitchell Trubisky's young career has been. It's been kind of disappointing, you wanting to see more. Where do you stand on how Josh Allen and him are compared as much as they are and why they probably shouldn't be any longer?
I know why they did it. Why they did it was because we have seen some examples in recent NFL history of young quarterbacks who have had an opportunity to be temporarily buoyed by their organizations by injecting a lot of talent onto the offensive side of the board with free agents, having a good defense, making the playoffs, even maybe potentially making a run, and then regressing as the necessity comes for the quarterback to start carrying more and more of the load. I get it. And by that measure, you might look at Josh Allen and say, okay, maybe he's next. If you're part of the national media, you see a potential regression coming. But this idea that there's an equitable skill set between Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky is just, it literally drives me bonkers. And so because the narrative is so strong and because it's so inaccurate, in my opinion, I felt the need to devote an entire pod series to just why Josh Allen isn't Mitchell Trubisky, and as a side note, why he's not Blake Bortles either. Mitchell Trubisky, you know, was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, Mr. Ohio football from Mentor, Ohio, on the east side of Cleveland. He came down to UNC. He wasn't able to beat out Marquise Williams in the ACC program that he was at. Marquise Williams ended up going on to be an undrafted free agent in the NFL. When Mitchell Trubisky starts and plays well, he plays well in a very manufactured offense with binary reads. He gets compared to Alex Smith a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's where the questions should start to pop in. When on earth has anyone in their right mind ever compared Josh Allen to Alex Smith? Never. That's never happened. But Mitchell Trubisky has proven, and he proved it again in Chicago, that within the confines of a manufactured offense, if you make things easy for him, if you do binary reads, if you incorporate a lot of RPO, if you put in read option, if you create high lows in the passing game, if you make things easy on him, he can perform well. And so I think that comparison to Alex Smith is actually starting to kind of manifest itself. That's not even close to being the book on Josh Allen. Mitchell Trubisky struggled in college. He struggled in the NFL when he was forced to make secondary and tertiary reads and drive the ball to the intermediate parts of the field. I don't know if you know this or not. That's kind of one of the things that Josh Allen does well. And so the comparison is just flabbergasting. The scouting reports aren't similar. The situations aren't similar. The offenses aren't similar. The only thing that is similar is this idea that you think Josh Allen is set up for a backslide based on the fact that you've seen other people make a backslide in similar team compositions. That's it. And that's really lazy. And I get kind of tired of it. Felt like I wanted to comment on it.
No, and I think it's a very interesting conversation to have because it's important to note, like, none of us, and I know you aren't, and I know, and you got to know that I'm not, we are not like Josh Allen bootlickers here. We're not the type of people that are, he is the best, shut your mouth, you are discredited as being even remarkably, like, you have no, there's zero respect in the football community because you can't admit that Josh Allen is good type of people. We are very much, we almost have to sort of, we're wait and see people. Like, I will wait and I will have a reaction on Josh Allen every week. And that reaction and that thought about Josh Allen may change every week. And that's fine because he's the type of quarterback that you almost have to approach that way. There is really no other way to approach Josh Allen other than a day-by-day, day-in-and-day-out type of thing. And to your point about their histories in high school, like, these are two players that came from remarkably different universes. Like, these are players that aren't even in the same species when we're talking about high school athletes. And I think it's important to note that. It's important to make a mark of that. Not only that, but both of them didn't have, like, super long, and maybe most important, super successful college campaigns. Like, neither of them were very particularly good in college.
And that's the different thing. It's like, it's experience is not just how many games you played. It's how many games you played multiplied by the type of competition you played by them. And so with Josh Allen, he played way more games than Mitchell Trubisky, but his stat line wasn't nearly as good. Mitchell Trubisky played way less, and so that's not even comparable. Yes, their college careers both came out with question marks, but for completely different reasons. No one's saying that Josh Allen is completely incapable of having a backslide year three the way Mitchell Trubisky did, the way Blake Bortles did the year before. No one's saying that's not possible. What I'm saying is if it happens, it won't be because he's Mitch Trubisky. It'll be for a completely different reason due to a completely different path. Qualitatively, they aren't even close to being similar players. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to plant my flag at Josh Allen's the greatest thing that's ever happened, and I'm going to defend it against anyone who dares question me. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. What I'm saying is it's a lazy take. And so when you have a lazy take, you kind of have to address it.
We got Bruce Nolan here on the Western Hotline. Bruce, it is a very, to me, he's obviously polarizing. And I don't think there's an A or B or C answer. I think there's combinations of all three when you have to sort of look at Josh Allen. And you can't do it from within a vacuum because that leaves yourself open to criticism because you're going to miss things when you're talking about Josh Allen. And I think that's the one nuanced point that doesn't get talked about enough is, you know, for me, and God bless his soul, you know, like, he's my colleague. I love Joe. Me and him have a lot of good back and forth about this topic. But the idea that, you know, Josh Allen and, like, say, Tyrod Taylor are somehow, I would say, somehow in a very similar place throwing the football. And if you want to say they're equal running the football, that's really where I've got to pause and stop you. Because as much as all of us want Josh Allen to be a better and more consistent passer, why is it, and maybe this is just because Lamar Jackson's efficiency passing numbers are just so bonkers and galaxy brain, like you can't really wrap your head around how efficient he was last year as a deep ball and just an overall efficient passer, that you maybe start to look Josh Allen with more jaded eyes because you're like, listen, if Lamar Jackson can be nearly as effective as a runner, but maybe twice as effective and efficient as a passer, that's really where you have to start judging harshly of Josh Allen. But, like, how come you know, other guys get credit for their elite running ability, and that's at least accounted for. Tyrod was a good runner. Like, there's zero comparison that Josh Allen is a significantly more effective runner of the football within the red zone, within the 50, with from the 20s in the 20s. Like, this is one of the best running quarterbacks in football, but that conversation gets completely lost. It almost becomes irrelevant to his naysayers, and it is confusing to me.
It's because we like to use rushing yards. That's why. We like to tack on rushing yards and use that as effectiveness in running the ball. And that's actually, I would make an argument for a quarterback, rushing yards running the football is one of the least effective ways of measuring how effective they are as a running back. Because when you have a quarterback and they run the football, are they really always trying to gain as many yards as humanly possible, or are they trying to get to the next thing? I think rushing success rate, EPA per rush, are probably far more effective when you talk about quarterbacks than just rushing yards. It's about getting that third and four, getting 5 yards on third and four. It's about converting the third and one. It's about converting the fourth and one. It's about getting the goal line carry. It's about getting to the next thing. Rushing as a quarterback is a valuable tool because it helps you deal with the ups and downs that come along with passing plays. The fact of the matter is it's not always going to be perfect. Let's just get to the next thing. Let's get the first down. Let's reset, and let's move on. And so when you only look at rushing yards, that's it, just rushing yards. Okay, well, if I scramble for 10 yards on 3rd and 13, is that really valuable? Is that super valuable? Okay, now I get another 10 yards of field position that helps my special teams. Great. But that's not the correct measure of rushing effectiveness for a quarterback. And the problem is we've got all these advanced passing statistics, and we're getting more comfortable with them. But then when it comes to quarterback rushing, we just equate right to rushing yards, and that's it. We stop there and go, they got the same amount of rushing yards. And that's why you think that Josh Allen and Mitchell Trubisky are similar runners. And they're not.
They are, I mean, as runners, you can't even really compare the two. And I think the better comparison that doesn't get compared enough, Bruce, is Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. They are the two. There is no, I don't think there's a third guy that's close right now. Kyler Murray's the third guy. Okay, I'll give Kyler Murray that. But he is still not quite the same effectiveness. Like, when you're in the red zone, there are two players in the NFL that are maybe the top two red zone targets in football happen to be quarterbacks, and they happen to be players that can make throws in the red zone that other guys can't make. Josh Allen maybe most notably there is there are throws with inside the 20 that almost no other quarterback in football can make than Josh Allen. So therefore, if I look at Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and say they are the top two red zone weapons in football, but they aren't even talked about nearly as close in the same conversation, that indicates to me that there are aspects of Josh Allen's game that can take a step forward that I think through osmosis, through everything else improving for Josh Allen, that they almost have to improve, right? Like, his accuracy numbers this year, like, almost have to improve, no? Like almost through process of elimination, they have to, not even because he's going to get better, but just because of the people around him, learning more, wanting to check the ball down more than 1% of the time. Like, these are things that I think just through osmosis, he's going to be more accurate in the future. And he might have 5 points better in accuracy metrics next year and still be the same quarterback, right?
Absolutely, because some of the contextual metrics that lead to completion percentage, things like average distance of target, drop rate, check down rate, some of those things, we always talk about regression to the mean, and we talk about it a lot with Josh Allen at predicting a regression, and we talk about it with Mr. Trubisky and, oh, he should have seen his regression. Blake Bortles should have seen his regression. What about progression to the mean? There is such a thing as positive regression to the mean. You cannot have the number one drop rate in the NFL forever. That's not going to happen just based on randomness. You're not going to have the highest average distance of target. You're not going to be that high forever. Right? At some point, it's going to come down. You're not always going to have a 1% check down rate. As you grow, those things naturally start to come out of you. Now, I know Josh Allen's never going to have the lowest average distance of target. We're never going to turn him into Derek Carr, Super Trent Edwards. We're never going to do that. Instead, those things are going to progress or regress to the mean. So just as likely as Josh Allen taking a step back is this idea that those metrics that then provide context to his completion percentage will change. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, if you just look at Devin Singletary and Dawson Knox, if they hadn't dropped 14 out of 91 passes last year, Josh Allen would be almost a 62% completion percentage just from them. So, I'm not saying Josh Allen is the best and most accurate quarterback in the history of mankind. But this idea that he is laughably and comically bad and we can't hit the broadside of a barn is a conflation of all this national media people who don't take a second to look a little bit deeper. And that's where the Mitchell Trubisky take comes from. It comes from the idea that you don't want to go any deeper than that.
So, Bruce, before I let you go, this is going to be a unique season. And, you know, I think if you're a sports fan and you're watching Major League Baseball, you're probably, I say this to Sal earlier, like, you're biting your fingernails right now because you got to be terrified that the NFL is not necessarily following suit with Major League Baseball, but they're going to be spending time in other cities across the country. I look at Houston. I look at Arizona. I look at the three teams in Florida. I look at the team in Atlanta. And I look at some of these other states that are in the there are multiple California teams. Like, all of a sudden, you get to, like, more than half the league is in areas of the country that are having extreme outbreaks of COVID right now. And I start to worry myself of, like, you know, and maybe this is selfish of me, but this is definitely the best Bills team of my lifetime in terms of on-paper talent, the position that they're in, and the division. This is the kind of year that, like, would basically break me if the season were to get canceled. With that being said, I know you've done a lot of work. You've brought in a lot of epidemiologists. You've talked to people. You've done your research. Does it also, to you, or do you also feel the closer we get to games, the less likely it is feeling like that they're actually going to play them?
I'm not necessarily unconfident that they're going to play them. I do wonder if they're going to finish them. Because I think your ability to maintain some semblance of control over the situation greatly spirals out of control when you have team buses, team planes, hotels, traveling to other, you have airports. These are things that are outside of the variable. This is the reason why the NBA went to the bubble, is this idea that there are certain factors you can control. And when you start to drift outside that, you increase the variance. And when you increase variance with something that is contagious, then you increase your possibility of getting exponential problems. And so I have every confidence that they can start games. I don't necessarily have a ton of confidence that there's not going to be a significant, you know, rash of COVID cases due to factors that I don't know how you would expect the NFL to properly control them.
Yeah, man, it's a situation that certainly concerns me, and I know it concerns a lot of people, but at a certain point here, like, a lot of us are just kind of looking for clarity. We're looking for consistency, and I know Major League Baseball isn't bringing that. The NBA is, and I hope that, you know, that the National Football League looks at the situation the NBA is, the precedent that they're setting, and they try to follow suit in every way they can. And what I hope doesn't happen is that, you know, Roger Goodell in this situation, listen, if Roger Goodell ends up looking like an incompetent idiot like Rod Manfred does of Major League Baseball, everybody loses. So I'm rooting for the NFL. I hope that they can figure out a way to do this, but do this safely. You know, no, none of us love football enough to watch long-term ramifications of our favorite players getting sick and having, you know, long-term effects from COVID, which we're starting to learn more and more about this virus. And I know you know this, Bruce, but, like, the more we learn about it, the more we learn that we know nothing about it. And that's to me the scary part of this.
I would agree with that. You know, it goes from just a binary. You know, did they die? You know, we
right.
get all the. You know,
are they dead or are they alive? And that's just not the way to look at this.
It's not that simple. It's not just are they dead or are they alive. It's about what type of long-term effects we're going to have. We're hearing about major league pitchers who potentially have heart issues now that are connected potentially to COVID. And there's just not enough information. And how risky are you willing to be with a human life that is partially designed to make sure that they can do something for a living that you find entertaining? Like, how risky are you willing to be with someone else's life? Like, how risky are you willing to do just so you can feel like you're entertained? And that's a really uncomfortable question, uncomfortable comment, and it's kind of uncomfortable to think about. But unfortunately, we have to, because human life matters, and the quality of human life matters.
That's true. And again, it's not an easy, to your point, it's an awkward situation. It's an awkward conversation that you have to have yourself. And I always like to think of it like this, Bruce. If you had to explain to your younger daughter or your son or your wife who doesn't pay attention to sports why it's important to you that grown men, grown women sacrifice their long-term health so that you can be entertained, try explaining it to someone who doesn't watch sports and see how ridiculous you sound. I think that's a really good barometer. That's a good test for you to find out if you're being absolutely ridiculous about what sports are really truly mean during this time to you. Try it. I think it's a good test for everybody to take.
Listen, I love sports, but ultimately we are talking about grown men and grown women in costumes with a ball. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. We find it entertaining because we have a rooting interest. You know, people, you know, aliens come down from another planet, they look at sports and they're like, I don't understand what this is. So you're emotionally invested in this, right? Yeah, I'm emotionally invested in this. Because you like the colors that person's wearing. Yeah. Okay. And that's the way that people who don't like sports feel like when we try to explain it to them.
Yeah, Bruce, I definitely didn't see us getting to the when aliens come down to Earth part of this segment. And I absolutely, these are the reasons I bring you on, because our segments take unexpected turns. So listen, my friend, I appreciate you making time for me as always. Keep up the top-notch content you're busting out over there at Buffalo Rumblings. We appreciate it. We'll be having you on again soon. And I look forward to a time where you can come back to Buffalo and we can enjoy chicken wings together. It's been too long.
Looking forward to it, Nate.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Bruce Nolan there of the Bruce Exclusive.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!